church is that God is good all the time and all the time. Yep. Find that out when you go through situations like this. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to look at the first two verses. That's kind of our foundational set. But we're going to look back at chapter 11, then we're going to look forward in chapter 12. And you're already later than you were last week, and I'm just getting started. Doesn't that make you feel good? There we go. If you notice, the title is Pushing Back the Darkness. We're going to do kind of a series on that. That is the theme of the Christian Missionary Alliance missions push, is pushing back the darkness. What does that mean? Well, pushing back the darkness. Darkness is the darkness, the blindness, and the death of sin. Pushing back that darkness is the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what the CNMA was created to do. Just a brief history on the Alliance. A.B. Simpson started it back in the 1800s, and it was a missions movement. It was not a denomination. It was a missions movement to take the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. And indeed, it is one of the largest, literally largest mission sending agencies in the world, though we're not even near the size of the Southern Baptists. It is the largest, and it is just really amazing. And we think that it started here in America, but most all the people involved in the Christian Missionary Alliance don't live in the United States. 40% of all churches in the United States are not even Anglo-American, not even white. They're Hmong, African-American, Hmong, Vietnamese, those kind of things. 40%, that's amazing to me, right here in the United States. So what does that tell us? The world has come to us. Even greater impact that we can have in the world. Because many, many nations now are not accepting missionaries. They're called now creative access countries. And if you were at the General Council in the past week, you heard three terms. They were like the Green Mountains, which is a code word for a particular country that we cannot say. I would tell you, but I couldn't, but now I can't remember what it is anyway. Tea Party, I think, was another one. Tea Party was another one. There's one other, I can't remember. But those are in Central, we know they're in Central Asia somewhere, but we don't know what the nations are. And we are taking the gospel of Christ to those nations. Believers in Christ are going into those countries from the Christian Missionary Alliance. So I think it's very exciting that we see those kind of things happening. So let's take a look at these two verses, and I'll be covering what's been going on around the world as we cover some of these verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, so you already know something, right? Therefore. Again, the question is asked. What's the therefore, therefore? So apparently, it's following up on something. We will jump back into chapter 11 in a little bit. But let's go ahead and read these verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. These are two magnificent verses. If you've never read these, you have your opportunity to memorize them, because these next 2 weeks, that your memory verses. So that's what we're going to be looking at. Not only that, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. Just think, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, picture yourself. Let's say this is at midnight. We're doing this at midnight, and all of the lights are off. Okay? And I need my prop. She has my prop. This is one of our props we got. It doesn't look very big, does it? And you'll see a little flashlight. What if I take this little flashlight in a pitch dark room and turn it on? What's going to happen? Are you the only darkness still? No, you will see this little light. This little light, can you see it now? No. Yeah, ceiling, maybe. Yeah, barely. But if it was a pitch dark room, it would be fairly bright, wouldn't it? It only takes a little light. Just a little light. But if this room is as bright as this, can darkness overwhelm it? No. Light will always overwhelm darkness. So that's why I think Jesus is pictured as the light of the world. And guess what? We are called also. We are the light of the world. So, thank you, dear. Just think about that. You and I not only follow the light of the world, we have the light within us so that he can shine out through us. Thus, we're the light of the world as well. We, together with Christ, can push back the darkness of sin and death and shame. Should encourage us. Now, compare this light of the world, not walking in darkness, and that since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and that we'll look at the witnesses, how do we sort this all out? You know, we think about maybe situations that maybe Heidi just shared, and we talked with Jeff about a situation there, and maybe your situations. We feel as if we're being overcome. That you get that? We feel like we're being overcome by a conflicting situation, or maybe even feeling we're being overwhelmed by darkness. But we're not. We know that. Because Jesus said, in this world you will have, what? Tribulation. But take heart. He has overcome the world. He is victorious. No matter what we are going through, no matter how bad the political situation seems to be throughout the world, how many nations kick the missionaries out or kill the missionaries or kill the believers, those are the places that the light shines the brightest because it happens to be the darkest. We have the opportunity still. Zach has an opportunity right in front of him, especially tomorrow, to push back the darkness. We have teamed up with him, so to speak, by help supporting him financially. But, you know, that's not the biggest part. It's the prayer part. That's going to be the real sustaining influence upon his time. But as we continue to pray, and every missionary that talked, they're always would reflect upon what is going on, but they would always come back to one foundational truth. Prayer. It is our prayers. It's not our giving. Yes, they did mention the Great Commission Fund, but that was not the focus of their talk. It was the prayer of God's people that take the light of the world to push back the darkness so that the light of Christ might overwhelm that. And there will be one day when he is seen for every eye to see. That was the day we're looking for. But until then, we have this opportunity to push back the darkness with the light of the gospel of Christ. Let me remind you of a couple of statistics. There are approximately 1.5 billion Christians in the world. We think, wow, that's great. But how many people are in the world? Remember the last between 6 and 7 billion people. So we'll say about 6. That would mean that over 4.5 billion people walk in darkness. They do not have Christ. And if the world would end today, right now, 4.5 billion people would be in hell. Over 1 billion of those 4.5 billion people have never even heard of the name of Jesus Christ. Not even heard. They don't know who he is. Zach ran into one here in the United States. That's mind-blowing to me. I just can't believe that. But that's the way it is. The world is coming to hear, and some of those people have never heard of Christ. We have the opportunity to push back the darkness. We've been focusing on prayer. And there was one passage of Scripture that we looked at that really connects with what we're talking about now, and that's Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Remember that passage? We won't go to it now, but if you remember, the impetus or the real central idea there was to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Not only pray, but beg the Lord of the harvest, urge the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Right? Now, where we came to, the conclusion was, if every believer would do that, what would be one of the clear conclusions? That you and I might be one of those to get sent out into the harvest. And with the idea and the knowledge that the world has come to us, we had that opportunity. Casey McGinnis, whose newsletter's on the back there, he's working on the University of Iowa. But you recognize when you look at what he's doing, there's Chinese students, there are Middle Eastern students, all these people coming to the University of Iowa who don't know Christ, and he has an opportunity to witness to them, and so that if and when they become believers, guess where they go when they're done with Iowa? They go back to their nations with the gospel of the light of Christ. Tremendous opportunity. So think about that, and think about Matthew chapter 9, that if each believer is doing begging the Lord of the harvest, you might be one of those sent out to, into his harvest. Right away you're thinking, oh, I'm going to have to leave and go to a distant land. No, because I think we've already made that point, I hope. You might be sent to a place where not many believers are, like in a job, wherever it might be, in Omaha, Council Bluffs, you name it, a school possibly. And you might feel alone. But Christ will never leave his child. He promised, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. You will never be abandoned by Christ. You might be sent to another country. We never know. Or you might be sent to another job to witness for him, wherever that might be. You might be sent across the street to witness to your neighbors. That's probably the most intimidating, because it's right there, right where we're at. But we are all to be sent ones. Okay? That's part of the term missionary. Sent one. Apostle is actually a sent one. Okay? That's what those two words, mission. Mission comes from a Latin word. Apostle comes from the Greek word. Now, with these things in mind, let me ask you some tough questions. We're getting to the heart of the matter here, which really has convicted me and really has got me to thinking and praying just in our context. You know, in the past 10 years, and that's about how long I've been here as pastor, in the past 10 years, how many people in our communities have been won to Christ through our church body? How about in the past year? You know, I'm not saying none. There's been a few, but are we satisfied with just a few? Okay? What is something that I always taught you through high school? Never be satisfied. And now he's in college, he still hears it. How many people have been discipled in Christ? That is, that people get together, intentionally get together with people and begin to train them, begin to love them, and just walk along with them. Are we really pushing back the darkness here at Harvest Alliance Church? Well, yeah, I give to the Great Commission Fund and I pray, but those are good things. But it can't cover the whole thing. We have to be active in the harvest. And that's something, it was really pointed out to me. And you know, I'll be honest with you, when Ravi Zacharias, and that's the only thing I can understand after that, he's just so smart I can't keep up with him. Actually, he's very, very clear and brief and powerful in his speaking. God has blessed him. I kept thinking of Joel Brandt the whole time. And he would have loved to have been there. But we do have the DVD on order, so you can see him to speak. But as Ravi began to speak, God began to strip away any pride or self-sufficiency that I had. And I looked at Heidi a few times, and she probably was looking right through me because I was lost half the time. Not because of what Ravi was talking about, but just God laying bare my own peaked soul, basically. And I told Heidi one time that I feel so disconnected. And it wasn't just, and what that meant is disconnected from other pastors, but it was the whole thing. I just felt what is that word, discombobulated? You know, I don't know a dictionary definition, but just the sound of that word doesn't sound real positive. And so God began to work in me, and I've told, like, one of the first questions Brett asked me today, how'd it go in Kansas City? And it was refreshing yet exhausting in many ways, and it was a good exhaustion. But the real point that was driven home, are we pushing back the darkness? I had to lay that upon my own soul. And really, the church's calling is to make disciples. And the question that keeps coming up in my mind, how are we doing? You can make the joke, I get paid for being good, you're good for nothing. Okay? But it's not just the pastor's job to go out there. I might be, and I, however poorly I've done this, to help, you know, work with the elders, which I know that I, you know, God has been putting that on my heart too, how to work with the elders better, more closely, for training, for prayer, for ministering to the rest of the body, but also the elder's job, what our job is, well, heck, go to Ephesians chapter 4, we'll talk about it. By the way, you're probably, we'll get to the outline probably next couple weeks, okay? This is all gone. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 11. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds. That's a correct translation. You might have pastors in yours, but shepherds is a proper translation of the Greek. Okay? And he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, or shepherd teachers, hyphenated, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that, we're all in one sentence still, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. There is the job of the church leadership, of the elders, the shepherd teachers. Because if you remember when we went through, I don't know how many years ago it is now, we went through the qualifications of an elder. One of the elders' qualifications are apt to teach. Okay, I am so incredibly thankful that each of our elders can do that. Okay? But what their job is to take that and to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up, strengthening the body of Christ until, you know, this is amazing. This is all in the home, right? Until we all, verse 13, attain to the unity of the faith. We are to be one, intent on one purpose, together, as a team, so to speak, as a family, as the body of Christ, so that all of us maintain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to look like Christ. That's what the leadership of the body of Christ in a local setting is supposed to do. And I'm so thankful that God has put in place here at Harvest those men. I am deeply humbled by this great benefit that God has allowed us to have, so that we can begin to push back the darkness. And we know that the head of the church is never, ever sick. Never, ever makes mistakes. And I'm talking about Christ Himself. He is the head of the church, because Christ said in Matthew 16, I will build what? My church. Okay? I will build my church. Fortunately, He's also told us to go and do what? Make disciples. We are within that calling of I will build my church. We have some responsibilities. We have privileges. We have the great joy of being with Christ and building His church. Why He chooses people like us, I don't know. I it's all of grace. That's what grace is all about. God is indeed a God of mercy and grace. So that's why I ask some of these tough questions, not only to us as individuals, but to us as leaders and to me as the pastor, are we doing what Christ has called us to do? Are we making disciples? Are we pushing back the darkness with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ Himself? Are we doing that effectively and consistently? And it all begins with prayer. All it begins with. But prayer cannot stand alone. Something really important in conjunction with prayer is knowing this book right here. If you say, well, I'm a Christian, I pray, but if you don't have this, you're not a full Christian. Okay? Probably going off half-cocked, so to speak. You're going off, you're maybe saying things that you don't have knowledge of. I have to encourage you again and again and again, get into this book. Okay? I do my best to try to bring you as accurately as possible, but don't just settle on what I say. Maybe God's teaching you something else, something deeper, something, a different nuance of what He's trying to teach you, of pushing back the darkness, maybe where He would have you and how He would have you to push back that darkness, how He would have you to make disciples, what person that He's going to make you or allow you the privilege of witnessing to. You know, God has gifted us in many, many different ways. There's really no exhaustive list of gifts, spiritual gifts, in here. You know, oh, there's this one and this one, but yeah, but you had them all together. Nah. Okay? You got to read the book for yourself. So, how are we doing pushing back the darkness in our own lives? Let's take a look back at Hebrews chapter 12. Boy, a great outline today, and I'm just gone away from it. Look at verse 1. That's where I want to concentrate right now. And I'll try to be done in a little bit because the food's starting to smell good. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, got to stop there, and just remind you, I won't get into it like I had planned, but read chapter 11 this week. Then you'll understand the therefore, why the therefore is therefore. And it's those people. Now you think, if you go through that, you say, well, there's like only 16 people. Well, read the whole context. There's millions. Millions. They're in this grand heavenly stadium, this great cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on, urging you on to do the work of the Lord. They want you to succeed in pushing back the darkness with the gospel of Christ. So therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, that have endured these things. I mean, look at this. Think about what you're going through right now. Okay? You got it? Think about what you're going through right now? Okay. Go back. I'm going to go walk back here a few verses in chapter 11. Verse 36. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed. They were tempted. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. That sounds like the prophets. Of whom the world was not worthy. Wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all the, you think about what I just read there, maybe compare that to your own situation. Heidi, you know we shouldn't compare, but at the same time, look at what some of these people had to go through. Okay? For believing in God and following His ways. Now, the world is not worthy of people like that. those who follow God. They're not, world is not worthy. And all these, though commended, verse 39, though commended for their, through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. All of those Old Testament prophets and followers of God did, and now, in our time, all the apostles and followers of Christ until, up till then, have not been completed because, yet, they're not perfect because, apart from us, they can't be. And since these people have done all of this, and you can read the other part of chapter 11 to really understand what we're talking about. It's talking about faith and how people lived in faith, how God conquered through faith and did mighty things through these little weeny men, but by faith in Him. Since this is true, we are commanded to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. That is what we are to do. So if we cannot lay aside every weight or the sin which clings so closely to us, we will be ineffective for the most part in pushing back the darkness. In our own lives, in the lives of our community, the lives of our church, and the lives of our nation and world. Let me read to you verse 1 out of the Amplified Version. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony of the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance or unnecessary weight and that sin which so readily or deftly and cleverly entangles us or clings to us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. When we are running, when we are walking the Christian life, running the race that Paul also talked about, the race, we are to take and just get rid of everything that's going to slow us down. Now, if you've watched the Olympics over the past, you know, whatever years, you will see that the changes in the people's uniforms. Why? Well, yeah, to be fancy, but to make people faster. They're trying to get rid of, they're trying to get maybe drop weight. They're trying to get faster. They're trying to get more efficient. They're trying to do something. That's why records are broken. They're laying aside everything that's going to keep them from reaching their goal and breaking the records. Now, if they're willing to do that for something that is here today and gone tomorrow, how much more so should believers who are working on eternity throw aside anything that's going to slow us down or hinder us? I don't understand that in my own life. I don't understand it in any believers or body of Christ life. Why would we want to slow ourselves down? Why would we not want to strip aside, throw those things away, and focus on Christ? A lot of times, you know, how fast can I run? I know I can't run very fast, period. But carrying this chair, how fast, how far could I go? Not far and really slow, okay? I used to be kind of fast, but not like CJ. Okay? Heidi was a sprinter in high school, and they said, well, how'd you catch her? I said, she couldn't run long distance. So I caught her. So here I am running with this thing. To be faster, what do I need to do? Ah, very good, Jeff. Toss it. What would if I would stop and set it down, I lose steps and stuff, don't I? So I don't have a big enough place to throw it. If I would, I would throw the chair. But it wouldn't be good because I might hurt somebody. You know, I spilled coffee on Nancy once. I don't want to throw a chair at her. So I won't do that. But to really keep going, I need to get rid of that thing so I can keep going. I got to get rid of it. And that is sin in your life as well. You've got to get rid of it. Don't hold on to it because all it's doing is dragging you down. You're not being all that you can be for Christ. Anything that's holding you back, I don't care if it's something that is even good. If it's holding you back from Christ, get rid of it. Whatever that might be. Now, I don't want to hear anybody say, it's my wife or my husband. That doesn't work, okay? That is out of the question, all right? But those things which are hindering you from following Christ with your whole heart, get rid of it. I can't tell you what that is. Well, maybe you're gossiping about someone, or you're holding bitterness, or you're angry at somebody, or that. You got to get rid of that. Get that situation straightened out. You got to get it straightened out. It's just that it is our responsibility, because it says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us, it's not saying let somebody else do it, let us, that's you as an individual and as a body of Christ, get rid of those things. If there was false teaching in here, such as Christ was not born of a virgin, which he was, we got to get rid of that person teaching it or getting him straightened around. You know, we have got to, but we cannot be healthy. The body of Christ cannot be healthy if the individual body parts thereof are not healthy. Okay? Nancy just had, Nancy Pettit, I got a bunch of Nancys. Nancy Pettit just had elbow surgery. Okay? But, you know, fortunately she has someone to do the surgery and that kind of thing, and she will get healthy. Okay, but right now her body's not quite right. Not yet. Not until the rehab takes place and the stitches get out and all that kind of thing. So it's hindering her from doing everything that she can do or really would like to do. That's why Hannah's home for the summer, is to slow her down just a little bit. And so we have to get rid of those things which slow us down, which doesn't allow us to push back the darkness that Christ has called us to push back. So I think the challenge to us as believers is, what is it that you need to lay aside so that you can run the race with endurance? That's something between you and God. What is it? And you know what it is probably. If you're not quite sure, ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that for some reason we're not connecting? Why am I missing the target here? What's going on? And you know the Holy Spirit probably will begin to reveal that to you. And we need to come to the point and say, whatever it is, let me throw it off so that I can follow you with my whole heart, everything I am. And don't make excuses. We're really good at rationalizing. Well, you know, it's really not that bad. If you have to rationalize it, it is that bad. Okay? And all of us have probably something. And if you, I mean, you go to the Lord and there's nothing, that means you're probably walking all right. But being human, you know, we're probably going to pick something up, you know, and you have to make sure that you strip it away, get it away from you as fast and far as you possibly can. And run that race with endurance, following Christ in His footsteps. That's what we're called to do, people. What I'm called to do, it's what you're called to do. Let us do it together for the glory of God. And you, when you do anything for the glory of God, you will receive a ton of joy. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these truths of your Scripture, that we have this history behind us, this great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, and that we can see the path that they have trodden. May we follow it, because it leads right to the throne of grace. And Father, I pray that if there is anything holding us up, slowing us down, putting barriers between you and I, that you, God, would break through the barriers, and that we would toss aside those things that would slow us down, whatever it might be, bitterness, anger, deceit, slander, lust, anger, you know, the disobedience, whatever it might be, God, bring it to our heart and mind, that we confess it before you. Maybe we have something against someone. We need to get that relationship straightened out before we can make progress in pushing back the darkness. So, Father, I just pray for your guidance in our lives. Turn us to you through Jesus Christ, that we might push back the darkness. In His great name, amen. Please stand for one more song.